time to jumpstart your life with your host, Nancy Levin.
Hello and welcome. We have a super special, extra, extraordinary show today, and I'm really excited to have you meet my guest, Abby Nguyen, and I'll be bringing her on in a few moments. But first, I just want to share with you that I'm getting ready to go on the road. I've been sort of home all summer, and I'm so excited to hit the road with my new book, Worthy, and to see those of you who will be joining me at some upcoming live events. So this weekend, we've got I Can Do It Philly, and it's crazy to me because these two I Can Do It's that are coming up in Philadelphia and next month in Fort Lauderdale are the very last I Can Do It's that Hay House is doing. Hay House is going to be doing some other events under new branding and new names, but these are the official last I Can Do It's. And, you know, it's a full circle moment for me because when I came to Hay House in 2002, one of the things I did was work with Reed Tracy and Margaret Nielsen at Hay House to create I Can Do It. So it's really poignant to be now doing the very last one this weekend in Philly. And I hope I will see some of you there. And I'm also going to be at East West Bookshop in Mountain View, California, near San Francisco next week. And then I'm so thrilled that I've got a weekend retreat at Omega at the end of the month coming up. So I'd love for you to join me for a deep dive there on reclaiming your worthiness. And then, of course, I've got the retreat with Doreen Virtue in Maui, reclaiming your assertiveness and self-worth. So lots of exciting events and travel, and I really hope that I get to see you in person and give you a big hug and a kiss. And that I can support you on your worthy journey. Also, a few things to let you know. I will be on Facebook Live directly following this radio show. So you can hop on over to my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/Nancy Levin Author. And you can join me on Facebook Live and we'll keep the conversation going. And also, I just released a brand new masterclass. So I'd love you to join me for my new masterclass, Live Your Truth. And it's experiential. You will go through a process there that will help you discover and identify your truth so that you can actually live in alignment with your truth and your desires. So you can get on truth.nancylevin.com to sign up for the new masterclass, truth.nancylevin.com. So I think those are all my announcements I wanted to make sure that I let you guys know about before I bring Abby on. So Abby's fascinating. She lives in Ireland. She's my new friend. We've become friends across, you know, the internet, the cyberspace. She's a Hay House author. Her latest book is called How to Be Well, which became a number one Amazon bestseller in stress management. And she is a shamanic psychotherapist. And I'm not even going to try to explain what that is. When I bring her on, I'm going to have her tell you about herself and about the work she does and have her explain what that means and the way that she works with people. So, Abby, are you there?
Hey.
Hello, my dear.
Hello. I'm still dancing to your opening theme music.
I know. Isn't
so
it the
funny.
Best? I know. I do the same thing. I do it. And then I found out my sister told me that my 11-year-old nephew does the same thing when she's listening to the show. He's in there dancing to the music, too.
It's fabulous. Thank you so much for having me. Yes, I feel the same way. My new friend, Nancy.
I know.
We bumped into each other on Instagram.
It's awesome. I know. And I'm so excited to have you here and introduce you to my peeps and let them learn about you. So I do want to just start out flat out with shamanic psychotherapist because it sounds I know it sounds so it's so like magical and intriguing and deep, and I want you to share a bit about what that means and the way you work with people and bit about who you are and what you do.
I teach people how to do it, too.
Yes, and how you teach people how to do it. Absolutely.
Yeah, well, I mean, I went through a crisis in my 20s, and I went to counseling, psychotherapy here. But I already knew in my mind what was going on, and I really believe that we can go over and over and over again issues with our thoughts, but it doesn't necessarily shift the emotional energies that are attached to that. And then I did some work with energy healing. I became a Reiki master teacher. Doesn't mm-hmm. happen overnight. I know I say, oh, I became a Reiki. No, but you put in the years, you put in the
right.
practice. And it's beautiful, and the energy moves. But you might not know what it was that moved. You might feel better. But if you have your brain patterns that get stuck on the things that we think we need to get stuck into, the energy moves. It's very hard to come into balance then with what just happened. So when I got involved in shamanism, it was actually my very best friend at the time told me he was going to England to do shamanism, and I felt physically ill because I was so scared of this. Mm. So I thought, right, I have to figure this out. So what I discovered shamanism really is, because one of the things that I do is I cut through all the crap, excuse my language. I throw away the labels, and mm-hmm. I look at what things really are. And to me, I discovered that shamanism is really working with energies, but listening and mm-hmm. communicating and hearing mm-hmm. and having that conversation with those parts of you that we don't usually have a conversation with. Yes. And I just realized that's the piece that's missing. We have the brain stuff. We have the beautiful energy stuff, but the communication to bring it all together was what I really got excited about. And when I went and I did my shamanic training, it was as if I was a big circuit board, and everything they said lit me up, and I was ready to go, whereas other people were like, oh, hang on, can you explain that again? And I think in one class, there was about 300, 400 people, and the teacher had explained something four times. And then my hand went up and I explained it, and everybody got it when I explained it. So it was as if it's in the very fabric of my being.
Yeah.
Just learning how all of this gets woven together. I think I have a knack for standing out of stuff, putting it together in a different way, and then making it real. So what I discovered is what I'm doing isn't like hypnotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you are a landscape, okay, so imagine... And those people listening, you can do this too. Imagine a blank canvas, and then imagine that your subconscious, your soul, your spirit, however you like to connect into that essence of who you are, is a landscape.
Yeah.
And it really shows you, reflects to you where you've been, the parts of your life that you're aware of, the trauma and the damage that we've all experienced, and the joy and the beauty, and then the bits that we're not aware of. And you could imagine hypnotherapy is taking a script and throwing it into that landscape and hoping that it takes or fixes. So somebody want to lose weight, I want to give up smoking, I want to stop drinking, I want to stop losing my temper. You know, all of these things that we go to hypnotherapy to try and reach that subconscious aspect of ourselves. And let's just say there's a beautiful part in the garden of the landscape of you, and that script takes and it works and it's great. But it doesn't work like that for everybody. And sometimes mm-hmm. the script just bounces right on out of there and never takes it off. Whereas the way that I work, so people come to me with issues like, I want to stop eating so much. I want, you know, I'm very emotional and I don't know why. I'm not happy in my life. What's my soul's purpose? That's a very big one. And mm-hmm. I say, well, let's look at the landscape of the canvas of you. And we go in there and we see that the reason why they're eating so much or that they're smoking so much is that they're not feeling fulfilled in some part of their life. And we do work in that subconscious realm through energy work, through shamanism, to clear the land, to plant the seeds of what they want to be growing instead of them thinking of what they want and not actually having those seeds growing for them. And then step back out of it and let it settle. And the beauty of bringing the psychotherapy into that is that we make friends with our ego. It's almost like we see mm-hmm. the ego, the personality in the room as another person that we say, we're doing this. And all we have to do is step back, let those seeds take, and let's see what happens. And the brain then comes to an ease with itself. And it's like, well, I've been trying it my way for years and it's not working, so okay, we'll try it this way and see what happens.
Exactly.
And it always works. You know, okay, you don't get the urge for a cigarette, or when you do, you know why you're doing it, and then
exactly.
you kind of wear it out, you know, or you don't need to go for that drink to relax. You say, well, let's just sit and do some mindfulness, and then if I still want that drink, I'll go and have that drink. And
yeah,
I found
that
working with this, it's almost like that landscape, that canvas, is the dream that you would have had at nighttime and maybe missed out on. The images that come from the subconscious mind through dreams, whereas we're just stepping into it while we're awake, and we can play with it and we can work with it. And there's a lot of fun and a lot of joy, a lot of release. I mean, you could imagine some people have like treasure chests buried under rocks and stones in these landscapes of their gifts and talents that they've forgotten about. You know, somebody says to you at 14 or even at 12 or 9, you know, you can't sing. And you dump a ton of rocks on that gift and talent in your landscape of your subconscious. You never go there again. I had a woman in my office who was crying tears of joy when we uncovered her talent for the violin, because her father said to her when she was 10, you're never going to make a career out of this. You're not good enough. And at 63, she took up the violin again, and the joy just poured into her life, and she didn't care. She wasn't doing it for the money. She was doing it to be alive. And then her landscape, you know, it went into HD and vivid colors, and the light comes back.
I love
Does that kind of explain it? Or
Yeah. And I love this whole piece of, you know, imagine that you're a landscape, and the, you know, the planting the new seeds piece. And so much of what you're sharing, you know, it so beautifully dovetails with the work that I do and that we talk about on the show a lot, in going into the shadow beliefs, going into the underlying commitments, shifting our beliefs and shifting our commitments. But we, in order to be able to make the shift, we have to actually first have the awareness of what is, and see how it got loaded in, see how it got imprinted, and then we can release. And then, like you said, there is that tremendous liberation.
Absolutely. And I find, and you know, the more we grow and evolve as a species, and I know that sounds corny, but I'm going to say it again anyway. The more we evolve and grow as a species, I see awareness as a light.
Yes.
And if we just shine that light of awareness into those places, we don't even have to do anything. It kind of just unravels by itself, you know? And why I love working the way that I work is that people can then go and do this for themselves. You know, traditionally, the shaman, you went to go and see the shaman, they did some stuff with you, and you felt better, and you left, and you don't know what the heck happened.
Right.
You know, or shaman
right, all
now,
very mysterious.
The contemporary shaman, right, contemporary shaman. And you come to them, you tell them your issue, they go on a journey for you, they come back with things, you work with those things. I'm like, no, you can come with me on the journey, let's do it together, and let's be awake while we're doing this. And it's just so magical. I mean, you could have a client in the room, and I'm looking at her, and I'm there, okay, when did this issue start? And all of a sudden, I see her at 7, and she goes, when I was 7, you know? So we bring her 7-year-old into the room with us and talk to the 7-year-old, and it puts it all in real time. So this is how I'm working now. So we don't need to go anywhere on a journey. We just bring it all into the moment.
Bring it all in.
This is where the healing happens, is now.
Exactly. And so you've mentioned a few times about that this is something we can do ourselves. Can you share a bit more about that? Can you take us through some kind of process or exercise here around that?
Well, sure. I mean, I when I was sitting down before I set up my business, you know, I was working in all different kinds of jobs. I was a course designer. I used to teach adult learning and literacy. So that's probably why when I take these complicated ideas, they come out very crystal clear and straightforward. But really, for me, it's about experience. And it's so funny because I went to Trinity College in Dublin, which a lot of people who come to Ireland go to Trinity College because it's just such an amazing place to be. And I studied science there. And then I ended up becoming a scientist, and I didn't know anything because it was all theory. Mm-hmm. Whereas you go to like a technical school, you'd actually be doing it from day one. Whereas the theory, that, to me, that's a bit like psychotherapy. We have all the theory, but we're not doing it.
Right.
So, I mean, I'll give you a really good one that people can do even right now.
Mm-hmm.
And it's to be at ease with yourself. Because, you know, to go the distance, to bite the bullet and step up, it takes courage and strength. And I honor that in everybody. And in order for me to give you a framework, you know, even my energy healing book that I did with Hay House, that's a framework for energy healing. I mean, if you wanted to do healing, all you need is that book.
Mm-hmm.
But the question you need to ask yourself before you sit down with the framework is, can I be at ease with me?
Right.
You know, and what you're talking about with the work that you do and self-worth and the underlying limiting belief, people don't even know what they are. You know that.
Of course. Of course.
You know that. And so mm-hmm. to allow these things to reveal themselves without being angry at yourself, like, oh, my God, I'm not a failure, really.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe I'm a failure. All of these mm-hmm. things. And just to be large so that you can hold that. Does that make sense?
It certainly does. And I'm wondering if you have your own practices around this. I know for me that when I start hearing, you know, what I call the inner critic crawl, when I start hearing the voice, when I start getting all that, I literally will have a practice where I will say to the voice, hi, I've been expecting you. I'm turning your volume down now. We're not doing this today.
I like that.
You know,
we can add in a little bit to that.
Yeah, yeah.
Because this would be the shamanic part, and I'm
Great.
Very happy to share this.
Great.
So when the voice says, hi, you know, whatever criticism comes up.
Yeah.
We are so programmed to go from intellect to intellect to intellect. You know what I mean? Everything is handled at the intellectual level. I would say for a minute to that voice, hang on a second. I hear you. Just wait a minute. And then I connect into my heart. And then I connect to the ground. And then I breathe. This would be the life-saving practice that everybody can do. You know, that's why it's just so amazing. You breathe.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to imagine yourself as an object that's shrunk, like a balloon that you've shriveled and shrunk, and this voice is very big and sharp and pointy, and it's going to hurt you.
Mm-hmm.
And if you connect into your heart, and then connect into your feet on the ground or connect your pelvis or your hips, wherever you're sitting, and breathe and just imagine that you are the balloon. And as you breathe, you get bigger and bigger and bigger. And just do that for a few minutes. Then you can listen to the voice. And the voice is the same pitch and it's the same power, but you've got bigger. And
right.
it no longer has control over you. You're
mm-hmm.
the one in control. And it's just a piece of you. It is not you. You know, this disassociation. My emotion is something I'm experiencing. I'm not my emotion. My thoughts are something that I'm thinking. I am not my thoughts. To bring your center back into your physical body as your center, then I think you know, you're more calm, you're more clear-headed, because I believe that sometimes those voices do have something really valid to say. So then I say, right, I'm all yours now. What do you want to say to me? Well, you know, this thing. And I said, oh, that's a load of rubbish.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Or you can sometimes say, yeah, but, you know, you be my friend because I'm in relationship with myself and you're part
right.
of me. So I really
right.
want to know what you want to say.
Yeah.
But give me a minute to just center first. You know?
Yeah, I love that. I really do. I love the idea of breathing into the balloon and that with that breath, we are expanding and that
yeah.
we are becoming larger. And also what you were saying around, you know, the emotions and the thoughts flowing through us, you know, we hear about this all the time, you know, I am not my thoughts. I am not my emotions. And it wasn't until I was actually on a meditation retreat in Thailand last fall that I really started to understand as it was being described to me that even thought, because we don't think about this way here, but thought is a sense just like smell.
Yeah.
That, you know, that thought, we can get a whiff of a thought, we don't have to hang on to the thought. We can get a whiff of the emotion, but we have a choice. And that's why I think what we were saying before about awareness is the most critical piece, because then we become conscious to the choices that we have.
Oh, gosh, yeah. I mean, I set my healing practice up in Ireland right when the recession hit.
Mm.
You know, and my dad is also an entrepreneur. So mm-hmm. I spoke to him and he says the recession could be the best time to set up a business or it could be the worst time. But then, you know, when you set up a business, any time could be the best time or the worst time.
Of course.
So don't let anything
stop
you.
Yeah.
So I just went ahead and I did it. I took the leap and my God, what a leap it was. And I got over it and it started to grow and people started to come and then they tell their mother and their sister and their friends. So people were coming and I got to a stage where it was in flow. But still, every Monday, I would wake up with fear and all the thoughts of I'm not making enough money and this is going to be a disaster and I'm putting my family through pain that I shouldn't be putting them through. And I started to realize, hang on a minute, this is Ireland. It's Monday morning. Everybody's freaking out about money and fear and everything. And I know my business is doing well and I know every week it's doing better and next year it's going to be better and so on. So maybe this thought's not my thought, and maybe this fear is not my fear. And again, this is shamanic. This is us realizing that we all merge and blend and flow into each other, but we don't need to clean up everybody's mess.
Mm.
So when I pulled myself out of that, you could imagine mm-hmm. the collective unconsciousness mm-hmm. like a lake. And mm-hmm. I said, no, I'm going to stand here at the side of the lake. I'm not going to drown mm-hmm. in this lake. It started to get easier, and then I found that the fear would leave me by 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday, and then I had the rest of the week. I was fine, but then the following week it would leave me at lunchtime, and then the week after that it came in the morning, and I just said, "Look, I'm not doing this with you," and then it just went away, and I didn't feel it at all.
Mm-hmm.
So what we don't realize is that if we have a fear or a weakness, particularly around self-worth, which I know is your key area, but even a weakness around I'm not good enough, all of those things. That it has a flavor and it has a texture and it has a vibration and a frequency. And if we walk into a room and that energy of the same flavor, of the same texture and the same frequency is just hanging there, we walk into that, a cloud of that energy sets our brain off into those thoughts, whereas we might not be in that place anymore. We just have that weakness. So again, where that voice comes in to criticize, and I would say, hang on a minute, I need to make sure that my balloon is blown up big enough. When I start having those thoughts, I also say, stop, these aren't my thoughts. Let's clear what any energy is in this balloon of mine that I might have picked up from somewhere, and then let's see if those thoughts are still going to impact on me. Then I'll do something about it then. It's really proved invaluable. Because we're all growing and changing and we're all going through so much pain and we're leaking out. We're leaking out and we're feeling each other's pain and we're thinking it's our pain. And suddenly when you only look at your own pain, it becomes that much more manageable.
Mm, I completely get it. I love that.
So, I mean, in the book, How to Be Well, I've got routine exercises that you can try to disconnect in relationships. You know, because there's several different levels at which we pick up these energies. You can pick it up when you go to the shopping mall, or you can be connected by hooks and lines and cords and, you know, daggers and arrows to people in your mm-hmm. family and people mm-hmm. you're having relationships
mm-hmm.
with. You know, how to clear all of that mm-hmm. so that you can actually center to yourself and feel safe. And
yes.
It's just you, which
yes.
comes back to. Can you sit with yourself
yes.
and everything that you are?
Yes.
And once you clear away everything that you're not, then you can actually sit with yourself.
I completely agree. I feel so strongly about this. And, the way that I usually talk about it are the ways in which we have been living in reaction to everything outside of us, living in reaction
oh, yeah.
to others, living in reaction to other circumstances or situations, the way which we have put our worthiness in the hands of others. You know, we've hooked our own worthiness onto someone else's wagon.
Yeah.
You know, which is a very sketchy proposition because it, you know, that allows it to be taken away from us. And the truth of the matter is that our worth can't be taken away or given. It is in this place that you're talking about where we are at ease with ourselves. And then that's when we can actually begin to cultivate the connection to what we desire, to
exactly.
how we want to engage and relate with life.
going to traditional shamanism, there's this amazing, I don't think I'd call it a procedure or a technique. It's just this thing, soul retrieval. You've heard of it.
Yes. Yes, of
where
course.
Where we are divine source essence and we lose bits and pieces of ourselves all over town. And if you have a trauma in your life, anyone who's listening might be able to relate to this, that it's almost like you jump out of your own skin when something happens or you get a fright or a shock, and then you gently come back in again, only sometimes you don't come in the whole way. And so I would get people maybe with an extreme case, this would be PTSD from something that happened, where we have to gently reconnect to the piece of soul that left and negotiate with it. What do you need? Let's say, what do you need Susan to do in order for you to stay with her? And this piece of soul says, well, she's not actually having enough fun in her life, so I need to see that she's making a commitment to enjoying life, and then I'll hang around for a bit longer, you know, that kind of thing. And I do all of this in real time with clients and teach them how to do it themselves too. But what I've discovered is that power is really what it's all about. And so I've started to adapt the idea of soul retrieval into power retrieval.
Mm.
And when you give your power away, it's like what you said, giving your self-worth away, you shrink. So even though we're unlimited beings, I do get a sense that when there's more of us outside than inside, we shrink. And so I've even recorded a free meditation on SoundCloud because I'm so vehement that people need to know how to do this.
Yep.
For me, it's about teaching people. It's not about having exclusive things that you can only buy from me. You know, it's there. It's Power Retrieval, Abby Wynn on SoundCloud, where you can sit in silence and you can literally take your power out of things, out of memories, out of people, out of places where you've put it, and feel like you've got yourself back again. Because let's say if there's a relationship where this person always has power over you, if you can imagine them and just see your power in them as like sparkly fairy dust or ribbons attached to them, or and just say to your power, you're not even talking to that person, you're talking to your power, and you say, you come back to me now. I want you to come back. And you can imagine if it was ribbons, for example, that they're loosening up and they're opening up and then they kind of fly through space and time and come back into you. Or the fairy dust comes back through space and time and into you. And I always have a cleansing, because you don't know where it's been, so you need it to be cleansed before it comes back. But people feel physical differences in their actual body, like back pain releasing, or shoulders aren't tight anymore, you know, or the jaw opens up, or something actually happens to the physical body when the power comes back, because our bodies shrink when we're not present to our bodies. It's fascinating to me.
Yes. So, you know, I see we've got a couple callers on the line, and I would
excellent.
Yes, yes, and I would love. I haven't even announced a number or anyone to call, but I see that some people have already called in, and one really fits in with what we're talking about, so I'd love for you to talk to her. And if you're listening and want to call in and talk to us live on the air in the U.S. and Canada, you can dial 866-254-1579, and internationally, you can dial your country code and then 1-760-918-4300. And let's talk to Emily in San Francisco. Hi, Emily.
Hi.
Hi there.
Great.
I was just going to say, I see the little snippet about your question, and since you're having a connection between the physical and emotional, I thought this might be a great place to start with Abby.
Hi, Emily. Yeah. How are you?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you very much. Yeah, I appreciate this opportunity. I was diagnosed with a very strong digestive disorder, ulcerative colitis, and I feel much better recently. Been doing a lot of stuff to heal myself, but I see the missing component, which is that what I really needed to change was how I was interacting with other people. And, you know, I guess I have always been a person who wants to be liked and wants to please other people.
Mm-hmm.
And in return, I, you know, end up carrying a lot of their responsibility and not really like knowing how to catch myself and set my boundaries so that I'm sort of not abused in a relationship. Anyway, when I do set a boundary, what happens to me is I feel guilty or I hear myself say, "What? You're not being nice. You're not, like, how can you do this?" And I think that, you know, it's still pretty fresh in me how to do this and not feel bad and not feel that someone's going to abandon me because I set a boundary. I don't know.
I think you've set the stage. Abby, I'd love to hear what you have to say about this.
Yeah, well, it sounds like you're doing everything right, but you need to be more patient with yourself. Because,
yeah,
you know, those champagne glasses, when they lay them all up into a big triangle and they pour the champagne in the first one, it takes time for it to get all the way down through the layers, down to the bottom. Hmm. So you need to first of all, imagine you're opening it out. And you're going to be patient with yourself and you're going to see what you're doing and not criticize yourself, but just say, knowing what I now know, what would I do different next time? Do you know what I mean?
Right.
So there's the brain piece where you look at what you've said, you look at the language you're using. And in my book, How to Be Well, I actually give power statements that you can use. So you can literally learn these statements off by heart and then you can buy yourself some time. Or you can create some space in a relationship, because you need to remember that when somebody is asking you for something, you never have to say yes or no straight away.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's reasonable, you know, and I'm sure you wouldn't expect somebody to say yes or no right away to you if you asked and they said, I need to sort some things out and I'll get back to you on that. It's, you know, to buy that space, to know that it's okay to ask for space. But then when I'm hearing about your illness is in your stomach, it's interesting.
Yeah.
It's like, what are you sick of? It's to your stomach, you know? Are you sick of how you are around people? Are you sick of how people are around you? And it might be worthwhile spending some time imagining your landscape. And where is your stomach in your landscape? And what does it want to say to you? Do you know, have you had a conversation with your stomach at all?
I tried when it was really in its flare-up. I think what it was saying to me was about letting go of some toxic relationships.
You've been, like, digesting a lot of toxins and it just can't handle it anymore.
Also very abrasive, I would say, you know, for the fact that I had an ulcerative condition means that, you know, whatever it was excoriating. And I think, you know, unfortunately, I can't give up my family members. And one of them happens to be my child. And I feel that a lot of my distress comes from that relationship. And, you know, I feel like it's my fault because I've set this stage for someone to... for my child to be, developing.
Sure, but what, Emily? You know, you have to look at it from the point of view as here we are right now in this moment, okay? And the way things are in this moment is the way that things are. And whatever soul contract you signed with your child, whatever agreement you made, let's say in the spiritual realms, what are you going to teach me? What am I going to teach you? Maybe that's come to an end, and it's supposed to be like this. You know, chapter 3 is over, and now it's time for chapter 4, because you have the light of your awareness on the situation now. You didn't have it before. There's nobody to blame here. You know, if you were going to blame yourself for not fulfilling your soul contract, then you wouldn't have acted the way you did. So you need to forgive yourself. You haven't done anything wrong. You've done the best you could. And now with the light of your awareness, with your new awareness of the situation, what are you going to do for you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, how old is your child?
19.
Yeah, so they're coming into their adulthood. So you're going to free them from being the child, and they're going to be a person that you know that just happens to be your child. Does that make sense?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'm finally putting up some boundaries that, you know, I can't be talked to in a certain way and I can't be treated a certain way. And, you know, but what happens is then I just end up, you know, not seeing them. And I guess so be it, because I can't have it the way it was.
Mm-hmm. This type of work takes a long time, and I also mm-hmm. cover family systems healing in my books as well, mm-hmm. which is basically, you know, I'm an advocate for you can't do something once and expect it to hold. You
That's
have to
true.
Do work every day for the rest of your life on whatever it is that you're working on, because you
yeah.
know, as long as we're here, we have work to do. And so by connecting into your awareness, into yourself, being able to draw down energy healing, which I teach to do in my book, you can then feel more loving in the energetic realms. You will allow that love into your body, and that will heal your physical body. You will then feel more at peace to bring more of your power back into yourself so that you feel that you deserve to have these boundaries and you need to be looked at as a person in your own right. But then the softness that emanates from you dissolves away the harshness that might be, you know, coming back at you. And then over time, the trust that the softness is there softens any relationship. I hope mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Yes. Yes, of course. Mm-hmm.
So I'd recommend you get How to Be Well, and there's things okay. in there that will confirm and validate where you've been and what you've been doing. And then there'll be your next steps in there as well, as to how you can feel more at peace with what you're doing in yourself. And
yeah.
I'm also thinking a gratitude exercise would also be very beneficial, where you thank your body, even though, you know, it feels like it's caused you trouble, just to thank your body for all the lessons that you're learning from it and to be with
oh,
it
absolutely.
Where it is, just as it is.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. I just, of course, you know, I see that it's at least allowed me to become aware of a situation that wasn't working, and it was calling out for change.
Yeah, I know. I mean, sometimes we sign up for things, and it's run its course, and it's time for a change. It's time
mm-hmm.
for change. But to go back to what I said earlier to Nancy about how we're always coming from our brain all the time, some of these things that happen just are not for our brain. I will never have the answers. Like, why did I suddenly wake up today and realize what's been going on my whole life where I didn't realize it before? Why is this day different to any other day in my life? We'll never know why. Probably the right time for something. You know, and if we get hooked into trying to find out the whys, then we never do the work. And we always stay small, whereas just release the why and be in the moment and be okay with yourself. Then that opens up for such flow and such joy to come in. It really does.
And Emily, I would also add, just to sort of piggyback on what Abby was saying in the midst there, around when a direct request is made of you, to remember that you don't have to say yes. And I often coach my clients, and you can throw me under the bus here, so you can say, my coach says... You can say, my coach says I can't say yes for 24 hours.
Ooh, I like that.
if you can come in with a direct no, then great, do it. But if you are feeling, and listen, here's the thing, and you know this, your body mm-hmm. is the barometer of your truth.
Mm-hmm.
You will feel in your body when you are violating yourself, when you are abandoning yourself, when you are crossing your own boundaries. You will mm-hmm. feel in your body when you're saying yes as a knee-jerk reaction to avoid conflict, to have someone like you, to not disappoint someone. You'll feel all that, and that's where that knee-jerk yes comes from, because you want to avoid feeling any of those bad feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So it's so critical that you start learning how to build in the space there to
yeah.
then decide, is this something I really want to do? If your yes is based on anything but desire, it's a no.
Mm.
And this is just a very practical, slow way to start with the boundary piece.
I'm sorry, but what do you mean if it's based on desire?
Like that you really, that you want to do it in your heart, that it's self-honoring
oh, right.
to say yes.
Oh, correct.
So if it's not self-honoring to say yes to the request, and if you're doing it from any of those other reasons, if you're doing it to avoid conflict, to please someone else, to not mm-hmm. to not make someone else unhappy, to not disappoint, you know, all those mm-hmm. things, if you're saying yes for anything other than your own desire, your own self-honoring desire to say yes, it's a no.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a place to start with this.
And you know what, Emily, even if you know it's a no and you say yes anyway, it's mm-hmm. learning for you. What does it feel like for me to do something that should be a no, really, but I'm doing it anyway? And as you're aware of it, then you really don't like doing it. Then the next time, it's ammunition towards you actually saying that no. You know, mm-hmm. take the time to build it up.
Yeah. Well, or sometimes I could just course correct.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big fan of course correction.
I said yes too quickly. Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But that's why I say, you know, that you let the person know. And that's why I said you can throw me under the bus. My coach says I can't say yes for 24 hours. We're doing this exercise. She gave me this homework. You know, yeah. Just so that you can start to get comfortable without the knee-jerk yes.
Yeah, yeah. Well, or just even the quick to offer.
That's
also,
right. That's right.
An issue.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. Or just say, well, I might have something to offer for that, but not, you know, immediately offer it.
That's right.
Because
that's right.
I know. I mean, it's really practice because I just can do it on occasion. And then I guess with the people who I feel the most tenuous relationships with, I tend to shiver and shake around them, you know, that, wow, I really mm-hmm. have to think great here.
Yeah, but here's what I want you to remember, too. If you really are feeling that the relationship is hinging on you doing something,
uh-huh.
there may be something deeper to look at around that relationship.
Correct. Yeah, no, of course.
Yeah.
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 Well, thank you.
You're
really
so welcome.
It.
I'm so glad that you called in, Emily. Thank you.
Thank you for sharing.
And let's see. Let's take another caller here. We've got Heather in California. Heather, hi there.
Hi.
Hi, Heather. All these lovely hot places, and here I am in Ireland, and it's getting cold.
I mean, this, I'm, it's a, you know, those little miracles that show up for you. And this is one of them. I pulled over on the side of the road because I had a feeling that I would be next.
I love it.
And then I would be here with you guys. So thank you so much.
You're welcome.
It's great to hear your voice.
So I say workplace, getting my power back. Of course, that caller that was there first that I was listening is me. You know, mm-hmm. so that was great to hear everything, and that was for me. And I'm in the midst of really opening my heart and taking back my power at this point right now. And I had a client that disapproved, you know, didn't like what I said or the information that I offered because I'm a coach. And so I looked at my patterning of how when people didn't like me, I would just self-loathe so bad because they didn't, you know, I always watch what I said and I was mm-hmm. so concerned. And so this feedback that I got from her was very ouchy. And so I had to really be with myself and meditate and see what was true for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess I'm asking, And I'm learning it with my husband, too. It's all around me.
Yeah.
Of how to get my power back. And so I guess I'm asking for a tool and a technique, and I listen to myself, but I loved how, and I'm going to get your book, by the way, but just of...
Well, I mean, the first thing, Heather, you need to be really clear on is that not everybody's going to like you.
Yes. Yeah.
Otherwise, we'd only have, like, one flavor of ice cream. And, you know, people, you know, you need a choice. And when I was starting out at my practice, what I would do is drive my car up to the top of the mountain at nighttime and look across Dublin which is a small city compared to where you are. And I would see all the little lights of all the people in their cars and all the lights in the houses of people settling in for the evening. And I would say, I don't want you all to like me, but I do want the people who want what I have to offer to come to me. So it's like I declare myself to be chocolate ice cream, and all the people who love chocolate will love me, and here I am. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
So look at how you're trying to attract your clients. Are you trying to attract anybody? Are you trying to call in everybody? Or change what you're sending out in that signal in your energy field. The people who want what I have to offer, those are my clients, and I'm ready for them. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Because, you know, and it's going to take some time to shift, because I find whenever I grow and change, there's a transition time where certain clients fall away and then new clients show up. And so you might have a transition time again where maybe you thought, oh my gosh, he was my best client and now he's not coming to see me anymore. But that creates the space for the new ones to come in. And honestly, you can't please everybody. And when you narrow down what it is you're offering, that you become the expert in that, then that's why people are coming to see you. And if that's not what they want, then they shouldn't be coming to see you anyway. And that's you really coming to terms with your power as the expert in your field. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
So perfect. I want you to imagine now that you know, that you've got lots of dials and knobs and everything, and you and me, we're retuning you in to the energy of who you actually are, instead of little miss, I want to please everybody person. Mm. That's not you. Okay?
Okay.
Because that's not anybody. Nobody can do that. And it's literally the people who want what I have to offer, I'm here. And then you just pull your awareness completely into your body and breathe and say, yes, that feels much better. Does that feel better? Does it change how you feel?
It does.
Yeah.
It
and
does.
I want you to imagine this is your power pouring back into you, your certainty of who you are. And I'm actually reading from your energy, Heather, that you might need to spend a little bit more time with that and find out, well, who am I really?
Mm.
Because I also have a sense that you've read many, many books, that you're basically, you're not an expert in one area yet, that you're dipping into a lot of things across a big spread of things, whereas you pull it in and you go, this is what I'm about, this is who I am, this is what I believe in, and I'm solid and strong in that, and I'm sending you a power ball of energy of I'm solid and strong, what I believe in, and I'm putting it into you so that you can feel that coming in through your head, down into the top of your body, all the way down into your stomach, splitting in two and going across your hips, down your legs and into your feet and turning into steel boots that you feel really strong and connected into earth. And this is who I am. And I'm sorry if you don't like that, but I'm not changing for you. Does that make sense?
Oh, perfect sense. Yeah.
And that's your sound. So, you know, like if I was to get a sound or a note from you, that's the note I want to hear. And anything in you that doesn't sound and resonate with that needs to go. And you give permission for that and see what happens. It's interesting. Things move. Once you do the work at this energetic, you know, level, this is an example of how I would work shamanically with somebody. Once you connect into your strength and your power, you can let go of the things that aren't powerful. You know, so for you to say something to yourself like, not everybody needs to like me. Can you say that for me right now?
Not everybody needs to like me.
Now, I want you to hear. How am I saying this? Do I mean it 100%?
I
not
do.
Everybody needs to like me. Now, I'm
not
saying it 100%.
Not everybody needs to like me.
Now, I think after what we've done today, it's more strong in you than maybe tomorrow morning when you wake up. First thing, you're going to say it and you're going to flounder with it. Do you know what I mean?
I do.
So if you connect in again strongly, I'm here, these are my gifts, not everybody has to like me, but people who want what I have, I'm here and I'm ready. And if you say this to yourself as power statement, but not just from your mind, get the emotion going. Get the connection. yes, this is why I'm here, then you become really in alignment with that. And that's your strength and power. And nobody can take that from you. Mm-hmm. Whereas the opposite side of the coin, if you've had this particular client that you mentioned, and how do you feel about them now after we did this, just out of interest?
That she's not my client, or she's not meant to be with me.
Yeah. Not meant to be.
No.
Is that okay with you?
It is okay with me.
Yeah, because there's somebody out there who's dying to be with you, who can't wait to be with you, and this person who's not meant to be with you is taking up all your time. Why do you want to do that? You know, be available for the people who want to be with you.
Okay.
So standing on that mountaintop, looking across at all those people, you know, you can't afford to be with people who don't want to hear what you have to say. You want to be with the ones that are dying to be with you, who want to be with you. It makes sense. So if you wanted to come to SoundCloud and look me up, there's the power meditation, power retrieval meditation that you can do, and I think it's only like 6 minutes.
Okay.
And I have people doing that all the time in work when, you know, they get an angry manager, they take their power back from the manager. I've had people come to me who've been on disability leave from work who download these things, and they're listening to them, and it's the thing that keeps them going until you embody that and it becomes so natural to you. You don't need me as a crutch anymore. You can stand on your own 2 feet. You've got this. And I think I can feel it from you, that the strength and power feels good but feels weird. You need to grow into it, yeah?
Yes. But I feel it strongly that this is, it's time. It's now time.
It's yes. now time.
Yes. And yeah. I would add, you know, so it was coming to me as you were talking, Abby, about the steel boots. You know, it's really, it is standing solidly in your value and in your self-worth. And the other piece of it, Heather, is that what came to me is something that I often say, which is, I will no longer package myself to be digestible to others.
Yeah, I love that.
And that sort of, okay. that, you know, that rings true for what you're talking about here, too. So I will no longer package myself. I no longer package myself to be digestible to others. Okay. Thank you.
Heather, you need to feel that in the pit of your stomach. You need to believe that 100%. And then you're unshakable.
I want
it. There could be some work to do in between the believing it 100%. You know, the bit that doesn't believe it might need some healing. And, you know, that's okay. That's the work.
Yes. So we've literally got about a minute and a half left, Abby. Let people know how to reach you.
Oh, my gosh. Well, if you're going to be on Facebook, I'll come and comment under your Facebook
okay,
Live.
Okay, I will. I will be there on Facebook Live.
But I'm also on Facebook. Abby's energy healing page is me. And I'm abby-win.com. Or you can find me on howtobewellbook.com.
Awesome. Thank you, Abby. I've loved having you here with me.
And you know what? I love Nancy.
So
fabulous. I love how we think the same.
Yes, we are.
It's so rare. It's fabulous. We need to do some more stuff.
I would love to do more stuff with you. We will figure out more stuff to do. We're so aligned. It's awesome. Thank you. And to everyone listening, a reminder, just like Abby and I were saying, we're going to hop on Facebook Live right now. So you can join us on my Facebook page, facebook.com/Nancy Levin Author. And I've also got this awesome new masterclass called Live Your Truth. And you will get to go through an experiential process to uncover and discover your own truth so that you can live in alignment with your truth and your desires. And that is available for sign up at truth.nancylevin.com. And once again, I hope to see you at one of my upcoming events soon as I head out this fall on the road with my new book, Worthy. So I look forward to being here with you again next week on Jumpstart Your Life.